All right, here we go. It is Tuesday, March 24th. Welcome back to Damon Bruce Plus. It is great having you here. Thank you very much for stopping on by. I would say hit like and subscribe. Don't hesitate to do either, but even more so, if you are watching, hit that bell icon. That bell icon is going to let you know whenever we go live, whenever we post a video. And I did a little research into my numbers. We've got 51,000 subscribers here, but only 2,400 of you have activated that bell icon. No wonder why we're seeing some smaller off-season audiences. You don't know when we're going live. We go live every day at 11, pretty much across the board, Monday through Friday. Of course, that's a West Coast time. We're here in San Francisco. But it's great to have you hit that notify button. The very first video I ever posted on YouTube was 3 years ago today. So my first ever foray into YouTube, it's our three-year birthday over here on the Plus, and I thank you very, very much. We thank our sponsors, as always. My man, Ike, thank you very much. Go get yourself a delicious sandwich at Ike's and do so soon. Hopefully there's an Ike's in your neighborhood. And let me tell you, Kalshi, our new sponsor here. You can get $20 by visiting my partner Kalshi and using code Damon to get $20 when you trade $20. Again, big thanks to our new sponsor. Kalshi is the largest legal prediction market in the United States, over 1 million users nationwide. You're trading on what you think is going to happen. These are real world events. They pay out interest. It is really something else. Check out Kalshi, and again, check it out on the link below in the very description of this live stream that you're watching right now. You can go ahead, you can scan that QR code, but thanks so much. Kalshi can, again, pay you interest on your position. Even if you make a long-term trade, you don't even have to wait to see it through before you're like, yeah, give me the dividend, baby. Kalshi, check it out. Wave of the future. That's what they're saying, kids. Wave of the future. So it is really good to have you here. Thanks so much for coming on by. And again, like, subscribe, and notify. We are here to talk about what the 49ers are about to do in this upcoming draft. I've got ideas for their first three picks, even though I don't know exactly when their first three picks are up, because I don't think trading back is a bad idea. I also, even though I do think it's a bad idea, I realize that Trent Williams might get traded here. And if that happens, that's more picks that would be, I'm guessing, before the fourth round. Right now, as it stands, without moving an inch in this draft, with any transaction, the 49ers are picking 27, 58, and 127. That is their first pick of the fourth round. They have four fourth round picks, their own, and three compensatory picks. They've got their first rounder. They got their second rounder. They do not have a third rounder because they traded for Odighizuwa. So that is not going to happen. And again, they don't really have a 5, 6, or 7. So it is the 49ers have six picks in this upcoming draft. As it stands right now, we're going to talk about the first three and what they should do around the first three. But before we get into that, we have to let you know what they did yesterday. Pardon me. Oh, I just realized as I looked over for it, I forgot my coffee upstairs. Oh, that sucks. We will forge on. Maybe even do a bottle pull if we have to. I mean, it's emergency. It's right here. 49ers signed a former Dallas Cowboy offensive guard, Robert Jones, last night. He started 30 games in the NFL, so he's got experience. He is somewhere in the middle of guard grading. You know, pretty good in pass protection, pretty good in run protection. He is not a hellraiser, really, in either department. He is not unplayable in either department. He missed all of last season with a neck injury. He's a 6'4", 322-pound guard who has played primarily left guard in his career. He was in Miami for his first four seasons, then signed on with the Dallas Cowboys, where in training camp last year, he sustained a neck injury, which took away the entire season from him. So I don't think it is out of the question to say that with over 2,000 NFL snaps on his body, he is the San Francisco 49ers starting left guard at this particular hour, at this particular time. the starting left guard that you thought, well, they might have to draft for in this upcoming draft. I think that position was filled with this move, and we'll see what else the 49ers do continuing in free agency or in the draft to get even deeper across the offensive line. And then, of course, there is the Trent Williams situation, which is the number one situation that the 49ers have right now. Trent Williams on the roster, but might get traded, might get released. I mean, this is the number one story of the 49ers offseason as it stands here today. This clock is ticking loudly in my mind. The $10 million option on him was not picked up. We know that. You know, the Bears, the Chiefs, and Steelers apparently are circling. Jason Lockenfora said that they're nowhere close on a deal right now, but there are assurances from John Lynch that, yeah, we understand how important this player is and we're going to have him back. That's what I would do. All it costs is money to bring Trent Williams back. It might cost you your entire season and a chance to go back to the playoffs if you actually let him go. He's not the only person in the world who can play left tackle for the 49ers, but he is, regardless of his age, the highest graded left tackle in football. That means he remains state of the art. And even if he slid back from the Trent Williams before that, sliding back Trent Williams still gets you the measurable best left tackle in football. You really can't do better than that. You can't. What he does to protect Brock Purdy's blind side, we've talked about that ad nauseum. What he does to open up the running game, I mean, it can't be diminished. They're a better team with him than without him, and we've got the numbers and the sample size to go in and prove it. Pardon me. I'm telling you, I get it done. Like, every day without a resolution, I think, is a bad day for the 49ers. Unless you're telling me you're trading him for some serious return, a couple of seconds, a third, and a second in next year's draft. Something coming in big that makes me go, it sucks to say goodbye to Trent, but at that age and that cap hit and the return makes me understand it. Right now, I haven't seen that return, so I don't even understand it. I'm coming back with Trent Williams. Everyone's got ideas how it all could work out. To me, there's no better workout than Trent Williams is playing week one. There you go. See you in Australia, everybody. So if that does not happen, though, if that does not happen, and Trent Williams is really gone, with the first pick of the San Francisco 49ers draft here in 2026, at number 27, I'm taking tackle Max Iheanacher out of Arizona State. I am taking the Sun Devil tackle. He is a mountain of a guy. He's fast enough to play the position, and I think he's going to be the best tackle available. All the guys. Yeah, hold on. We're going to have to go bottle pull here. I don't know. Got a little crumb in the back of my throat. Maybe the whiskey will chase it out. Ha-ha! Yes! To Max Iheanacher. Let's say you go ahead and retain Trent Williams. Trent is still there. You haven't moved up. You still got 27. Well, at 27, I don't mind Zion Young right there. Zion Young, the defensive end out of Mizzou, a 6'6", 262-pound difference maker. The guy is a straight-up disruptor. He was a captain. He was a locker room leader. He's got great bend to his pass rush. He's a great hand fighter in his pass rush. He's really good against the run. He's officially a get-after-it energy guy. I mean, I would never want to draft a guy with a low motor. Nobody in the first round goes with a low motor. So he's got the high motor, like everyone who gets drafted in the first round. God, of all days to forget the freaking coffee. Hold on. I think I got a water. Like yesterday's water. Let's see what we got in here. I think it's going to save the show. I think it's going to save the show. Max Iheanacher, if Williams is gone, if he's not, Zion Young. With the next pick, the 58th pick in the second round, the 49ers second round pick, even with what they've done with Mike Evans and even what they've done with Christian Kirk, neither guy is a long-term answer at wide receiver. There is no doubt that this team needs a steady wide receiver. Now, if Omar Cooper Jr. is there at 58, I would be absolutely shocked. And this is where I'm going to bring up the other Indiana receiver that we have not talked much about, Elijah. I would really, really like to see Elijah Surratt. If you're telling me that at 58, without moving an inch, the 49ers could add Elijah Surratt, I think he would be perfect. Not only can he play in the slot, he can play the boundary. He can play the X. He can play the Y. I think he would be a compliment on this team. A combination of great route running. He is not the biggest guy in the world, but he's got incredible hands. His nickname in Bloomington was Waffle House because he was always open. I know we've been talking about Omar Cooper Jr. in the first round. I'm telling you, I don't think the 49ers can afford to go wide receiver in the first round. They got to go more beef, either offensive or defensive line. But in the second round, if you came back and you walked away with Elijah Surratt, I would absolutely love that pick, and I think you would too. The next pick, without making a trade, without anything happening, will be up at 127. That is the 49ers' fourth round pick. And I think you are going to get the choice of three players that I like very, very much at that pick. For the 49ers, if he is there, now I think, again, he might be off the board in the third round. If he's there in the fourth round, I don't even know if he would last to 127. TCU safety, Bud Clark. This guy's my new draft crush. This guy has led the NCAA in takeaways since he joined college football. He ran a 4.41, 9-inch hands. He's a turnover machine. He's a ball hawk. If you're looking to get better in that secondary, you add this player. He's an absolute disruptor of the first degree. I really, really like him. Really, really like him an awful lot. He had a really good Senior Bowl. He's moving up draft charts because of that. I don't think maybe he's there. If he is, I am running to the podium at 127 to pick TCU safety Bud Clark. If he is not there, Stanford tight end Sam Roush probably will be. Adding another tight end for Brock Purdy, when you know how much Brock Purdy likes tight ends. And look, I believe in Jake Tongas probably more than anybody out there. I think Tongas is going to be one of the sleeper picks in your upcoming fantasy draft. I think he is a really good red zone target for the 49ers. The guy catches, his touchdown to reception ratio is even better than George Kittle's was at any point in time in his career. I think he's a surprise waiting to happen, but I need more than one tight end for the Shanahan offense, I think, to really look good and be secure. And Sam Roush out of Stanford, to me, would be a great pick in that fourth round. And again, you might even see him slide into one of those compensatory options. I would absolutely look at that. Again, I in nature, if Trent Williams is gone, if Trent Williams is still on the team, I would go Zach Young, defensive end, Mizzou at 27. At 58, I would be thrilled to see Indiana wide receiver Elijah Surratt just right there on the board. Don't need to trade up. Nothing funny needs to happen. He's there. You take him in that fourth round at 127. Give me Bud Clark, the TCU safety, or give me Sam Roush. Now, what I'm not going to do to you is come back every single day with another mock draft. How disposable can you admit your mock drafts are if you're releasing a new one every 5 minutes, for goodness sakes? As it stands right now, as the Niners are on the balance beam of making a massive Trent Williams decision, investment, or a trade, as they just addressed a need in their offensive line by signing who I think is their starting left guard, I think that Robert Jones filled a need that had to be addressed in this draft, and now that that need has been addressed, you can look in another direction. This is what brings me to Surratt in the second round. But I like it, and hopefully you like the idea of hitting that notify button. Hopefully you like the idea of liking and subscribing. Hopefully you've already liked this very show that you are watching right now. Good to see so many regulars in here. Thank you very much for being here. As always, first man in the room is our man, the postman from Capitola.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so many others. Thank you very much. San Bruno Mike. We got Chef A, who I know is devastated about Moses Moody, and so am I. We're going to talk about that in just a second. I didn't see that until this morning, and I don't want to see it again. I'll tell you that right now. That was brutal. Absolutely brutal injury. Meanwhile, though, what an offseason it has been around the NFL. What an offseason we've had here with about a month to go before we get to the NFL draft. You got Brandon Ayuk still dangling in the wind. You got Juwan Jennings, who is basically still homeless at this point in time. Joey Bosa could absolutely be in the mix here for the San Francisco 49ers. The NFC West is actively reshaping around the 49ers. And the question, you know, are the 49ers doing enough to reshape around the ever-improving NFC West? I do not know. Could there be a possible trade with another team because someone's trying to come get Ty Simpson, who is a quarterback that I don't think should be a first-round pick, but if somebody wants to get a quarterback and have that extra fifth year of control on him coming up into that first round is the only way to do it. So maybe that is a vehicle that the 49ers can use to trade back and get more picks, which, whether Trent Williams is on the team or not, isn't the worst idea either. But I don't want to have too many pieces to my supposings. You got the freaking Raiders going on a spending spree. They're about to have the number one pick in the draft. Fernando Mendoza is coming, a young, impressive head coach. They even have Max Crosby back. The Raiders are going to be a factor in the AFC West. Just like that. I really think that could happen. They spent serious money, made some good decisions. Let's see what their draft does for the Raiders. Some fascinating stuff coming up. Some fascinating football stuff is coming up. But look, God, we got to talk about not even the Warriors as much as I just want to talk about Moses Moody. Like, what more do you need to know about this year? How many more signs it ain't your year do you possibly need? Now, again, as we talked about just last week, because of where they are and the teams that are just coming in as limp-wristed and not trying behind them, there's really no way for the Warriors to fall out of the play-in round. They're gonna be a playoff team. But don't try to be a playoff team once you're in the playoffs. I would be shutting down Kristaps Porzingis, Draymond Green, and Steph Curry right now. I wouldn't do anything outside of answering the question, what is best for Steph Curry next season? What is best for Steph Curry next season? One of those things would have been, and this is what just, let me tell you, knees suck, my friends. I hate knees. Knees and sports just do not get along. That Moses Moody injury, it's like the Sean Livingston injury. You do not want to watch it. If you have not seen it, don't. Jillian and I were watching a documentary last night. It was good. We watched the first couple episodes of Sunderland Till I Die, believe it or not. I'm watching a documentary about soccer. It's really good. Sunderland Till I Die. And we got into that, and then we went to bed. I didn't even remember that the Warriors were playing. That's how dialed in I am on them right now and just how going nowhere fast they are in my own mind right now. Brutal. Woke up this morning, saw the news, saw the injury. Don't put your eyes on it. If you can avoid it, avoid it. Just brutal. Yeah, Michelle, it's bad. I mean, you could just see it on Steph. Steph was scared for Moses Moody, as he should be. That is a career-altering injury. Chef A, pull the plug. Do not resuscitate. Tiger tank. Maybe this Moses Moody injury is a sign that the Warriors should tank and get some good picks to reload for next season. Exactly. Like, come on. Come on. Imagine if that were Curry or Porzingis or Draymond. I mean, it would just be devastating. What sucks for Moses Moody is how often it felt like, all right, for whatever reason, Steph is hurt, or, you know, DeAndre Melton's not playing, he's hurt, or you've got an opening for Moses Moody to maybe get some real minutes and take advantage of. And it always felt like whenever that happened, Moses Moody also got hurt. You know, life is timing, and Moses Moody never had good timing. All of his healthy days in a Warriors uniform came, you know, when the team didn't have minutes for him. And when they do have minutes for Moses Moody, it's like he wasn't able to play. I mean, that's what's happening in the last, what, 20 games that Steph has missed? How many of those games did Moody have to miss with his sprained wrist, which he finally returns from, only to have the devastating knee injury? It sucks. Absolutely sucks. Brutal. Brutal, brutal. Again, do not watch that injury. I'm guessing you might be paying some attention to the March Madness. Again, as an Indiana guy, without an Indiana Hoosier team in there, I am crestfallen, but I do think we've got like six Big Ten teams in the Sweet 16. The Big Ten is the best sports conference in America, folks. Three-time defending national champs in football, and more teams in the Sweet 16 this year than any other conference. Big Ten's a freaking monster now. It really is. But let me tell you, I hopped on that Santa Clara bandwagon, and I really am the kiss of death. I swear to God. You had poor Herb Sendek not get that timeout granted. Kentucky hits a miracle three to force overtime. Santa Clara, which hung with Kentucky through regulation, gets buzzer-beated at the end for a one shining moment level shot. Man, oh man. Devastating that Herb Sendek didn't get the timeout, which would have told his team, foul, we're up three, foul. Do not let him get a three off. Meanwhile, Randy Bennett has exited Moraga. A lot of people thought that wasn't going to happen. Randy Bennett is out. He's leaving St. Mary's for ASU. I mean, it feels like that is a, you know, just program-altering choice until something happens. And I don't even know if Randy Bennett at Arizona State will match the success he had St. Mary's. I don't know if St. Mary's is ever going to see this kind of success again. It's brutal to lose Randy Bennett. It really is. It's amazing he stuck around this long. It's amazing that through all of the ups and downs of Cal, that they never went to Moraga to find the guy. But it is Arizona State, apparently. You know, Bennett's from Arizona, so it's a little bit of a homecoming for him. But that is a jarring choice for St. Mary's and the good folks at Moraga. It really is. But the madness is getting sorted out. The Sweet 16 should be fantastic starting in 48 hours. Let's go. I love me some Sweet 16. And, of course, San Jose is one of the sites of the regional semifinals. And that's really it for the day. The 49ers have a galactically important month where it would be great if they could just cross a couple more T's, dot a couple more I's, and be even more ready to attack a draft where they're either through a trade up for Ty Simpson, a trade of Mac Jones, a trade of Trent Williams, going to acquire more picks, or a trade back. But Trent Williams, until there is conclusion on the best left tackle in football, that is the Niners' biggest story. There is nothing else that is going on in Ninerdom that will be a bigger marker of what this season could be or might not be than Trent Williams. Chicago Jason says, Damon, what about season two of Hunting Wives? Is it out now? If it's out, Jillian's going to want to get all over that. I haven't looked. Is season two of Hunting Wives coming out? What a just garbage, beautiful piece of garbage TV show that really is, man. All kinds of trashy entertainment. You like guns? You like lesbians? You like vengeful women plotting against each other? Oh, it's something else. It's great. Yeah, both Cal basketball teams got eliminated this postseason. There's no one from the East Bay going to have some success. St. Mary's out, and the Warriors, they might be in, but believe me, they will be out quickly no matter what. Hey, at least Kentucky's done though, right? Full on, at least Kentucky is done. SGA Sports Talk became a new YouTube member. Didn't you do that just last week? Either way, thank you very much for doing that and becoming a part of the initiated. Too Much Sauce asked the question, is Mike McDaniel a more creative play caller than Kyle Shanahan? You know, maybe. Maybe. I don't think the Miami Dolphins should have necessarily let him go, but it is clear the Miami Dolphins, they are looking to tank and just get as bad as humanly possible and reload. And I'll tell you, in doing so, I found this today too that was pretty interesting. I thought the Dolphins, even though they've only been covered from the stripping of parts, the Dolphins could really affect this upcoming draft. ESPN's Matt Miller reported today that Miami has more picks in the first three rounds, seven picks in the first three rounds for the Dolphins than the Seahawks, the 49ers, or the Falcons, or the Chargers have in the entire upcoming draft. So the Miami Dolphins can really disrupt the flow of traffic because they've got all the pieces to move anywhere on the board they see fit when they think that there is a player that they are going to need for their what is clearly now a 2-3 years down the road, we're back to compete plan. But I do like Mike McDaniel, man. I do. I like Mike McDaniel. He is an offensive mind to be reckoned with, and I think that he and Jim Harbaugh and Justin Herbert can be very dangerous together in the AFC West. I really do. What? Chef A got a new job. Well, congratulations to that, Chef A. Chef A gets an oi, oi, oi.
Oi, oi, oi.
That. I look at it this way. If you are privately chefing for somebody, how lucky that somebody is to have you privately chefing for them. Chef A, you want to talk about mastermind genius in the kitchen? There's nobody doing it better than Chef A. That's awesome, Chef A. Go get him. Go get him. Anyways, look at all the hellos. Look at all the hey, how are you's going on in the chat right now. I love it. I love to see it. I love to see y'all getting along so very, very well. Thank you for getting along with the channel. Again, hit that notify button. I was stunned. Again, I've been doing a little deep diving analysis on the YouTube channel, and the normal amount of subscribers or the normal amount of people who hit that bell button for someone who has 50,000 subscribers at like somewhere around 15 to 20% of you should be hitting that bell button, but only like 2.5% of you have done so. Again, we've got 51,000 subscribers, but only 2,400 have hit notifications. So you don't know when we're going live. You don't know when videos are dropping. Make sure you do just by hitting that bell button. My man, Barry Ford from Memphis, Bang Bang from Bluff City. It's been a while. Mary and I are waiting on hunting wives as well. Love to Jillian and the boys. Hated Kentucky since Calipari. How about Calipari in Arkansas? They're still dancing. But yeah, thank you very much, Barry. Always great to have you again tomorrow. I got to warn everybody. Tomorrow, your friendly host turns 51 years old. Are you even allowed to be on YouTube when you're a 51-year-old man? We'll find out, because tomorrow I turn 51. It's the birthday. You've been warned. We will absolutely take a couple of tugs during the show. I'm sure of it. Why wouldn't we? Steve Lewis says, would you rather get a $100 million lump sum or guaranteed $1 million a month for the rest of your life and each of your kids? Give me the million over a month. I mean, that's easy. So we get every remaining month of my life, and then every remaining month of my six-year-old and my four-year-old's life? That's easy. That's easy, Steve. We're going to go ahead and we're going to take the million a month for sure. I'd like to think collectively all Bruce men got more than 100 months left in us. So we're going to come out on top by taking the payment plan. Were you trying to ask me a math question there, Steve? All right, here's what we do got, though. Our happy birthdays would start our day in history. Some very interesting birthdays today. Happy 91st birthday to Mary Berry. Do you know who Mary Berry is? Well, you do if you've watched The Great British Bake Off. The Great British Bake Off, Mary Berry is the charming silver-haired woman who's one of the judges with Paul Hollywood. And she'll say, oh, that cake's a little stodgy. Little stodgy. Oh, she's great. I love Mary Berry. 91 years old. Tommy Hilfiger, 75 years old today. The designer who I don't know if we would have ever really heard about him had Snoop Dogg not worn Hilfiger. Steve Ballmer today, former Microsoft CEO and all that good stuff, or CFO, whatever the hell he was there. He made a lot of money. He bought the Clippers, and no matter what he does, they still suck, and they're cheating. Just subverting the cap with fugazi jobs, no doubt about it. But Steve Ballmer is 70. Maybe the greatest ring entrance in the history of professional wrestling, The Undertaker. The Undertaker is 61 years old today. Laura Flynn Boyle. What was that? Twin Peaks? Isn't that the name of that? Laura Flynn Boyle was also in Wayne's World. I remember that. Happy birthday to comedian Tig Notaro. She is 55. She is so droll. She is so dry. She is so funny. Tig Notaro has a stand-up special. She is a breast cancer survivor and had a double mastectomy. And on stage, she takes her shirt off and then just starts talking about like airplane humor. Like it's one of the most brave stand-up specials I have ever seen. And she's there showing you her now completely breastless body because of the double mastectomy. And you're like, okay, so this is what the rest of this stand-up special is going to be. And besides taking her shirt off, she doesn't even bring it up. It's one of the most brilliant misdirections any comedian has ever had the balls to do. Salute to Tig Notaro. She's funny. Happy 53rd birthday to Jim Parsons. I can honestly tell you, I never watched a single episode of Big Bang Theory, but I know Jim Parsons was on it. Happy 52nd birthday to Allison Hannigan. That's the one time at band camp, girl from American Pie, and then went on to do all of those like scary movie spoof, funny movies. Happy birthday to Peyton Manning, 50 years old today. Happy birthday to Jessica Chastain, 49 years old. And happy birthday to Chris Bosh, who is now 42 years old and, of course, was a part of the Heatles with Dwayne Wade and LeBron down in Miami. So a lot of interesting birthdays today. A lot of interesting birthdays. And I guess happy birthday to my YouTube channel. Posted my very first video 3 years ago today. And look at us. We've grown to 51,000 subs. Happy birthday to the Kingdom of Great Britain. Today in 1707, the Acts of Union was officially signed that unified the kingdoms and parliaments of England and Scotland to create the Kingdom of Great Britain. There was never any controversy over that. Today in 1945, with the debut of Billboard magazine's pop album chart, American pianist and singer Nat King Cole, King Cole Trio, became the first recorded album to ever be declared the number one album. I got a number one for you a little bit later on that's going to make you go, holy shit, I'm getting old. Like Jillian had a rough morning. She had a thing that she had to do at work, sending, you know, some emergency email, came in late. She saw it first thing in the morning, had to get out of bed early to put out a little fire before her workday even started. And so she was a little grumpy this morning. I don't begrudge her that. She got kind of clobbered over the head with a big scoop of work as soon as she was getting out of bed. She hadn't even had her tea yet, hadn't even hopped in the shower. And she had a big pile just land on her. And I texted her after I dropped her off at BART today as she had to go downtown to the tower. I said, I know you're already feeling a little grumpy, but I'm going to make you feel even older. I'm going to make you feel worse. You're not going to believe how a song that was just out 15 minutes ago is now officially 25 years old, but that's coming up in just a minute. Today in 1944, more than 75 Allied prisoners undertook a daring escape from a POW camp in Sagan, Germany. Even though most of the people who escaped were eventually recaptured, as they got out of the POW camp, but then it was another thing entirely to get out of Germany. The movie The Great Escape comes from this moment. The tunnels, Tom, Dick, and Harry, come from this moment. It's a real story. It's an awesome movie. If you've never seen The Great Escape, it's one of the ultimate dude movies and rite of passages you can ever watch. It's just awesome. Great Escape, 1963, Steve McQueen. Check it out, kids. Today in 1955, Tennessee Williams's play, Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, officially opened in New York. It's one of the most famous plays ever conceived of. Well, I only tell you that to tell you this. The greatest quote of all time, one of them anyways, comes from Tennessee Williams. And it's not from the play, Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. It's just been attributed to Tennessee Williams. Quote, America has only three cities, New York, San Francisco, and New Orleans. Everything else is Cleveland. What a great quote. America has three cities. New York, San Francisco, New Orleans. Everything else is Cleveland. Ah! I love that. I love that. They issued him serial number 5331061. Today in 1958, Elvis Presley was inducted into the U.S. Army. Oh, why don't you step on up there, Private Presley? Today in 1989, Captain Joseph Jeffrey Hazelwood had hit the bottle one too many times himself, and the next thing you know, the Exxon Valdez had crashed in Prince William Sound, and 11 million gallons of Alaskan crude oil went right into Prince William Sound in one of the greatest environmental disasters of all time. Way to go, Captain Hazelwood. douche. Today in 1993, the final episode of Doogie Howser. Doogie Howser was a big, big show in my lifetime. Neil Patrick Harris, he was great as Doogie Howser. No one had any idea. Like, he'd grow up to be one of the premier gay men in America, who also makes one of the single straightest poonhound cameos of all time. I mean, if we're really talking about what are the greatest cameos in cinematic history, Neil Patrick Harris in the Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle movie is just, it's incredible. I mean, it's great. It's, you know, it's just freaking brilliant. All right, you ready to feel old? The number one song in America today in 2001 was Butterfly by Crazy Town. You remember that song? It was an earworm. It had a great hook to it, nice little guitar lick in it. I don't know if Crazy Town ever had another hit, but I remember that. I mean, that song was all over the place. Come, my lady, come, my lady, you're my butterfly, sugar, baby. I mean, that song was everywhere. Song was everywhere. You want to talk about, you put this song on in a bar, every single chick between the ages of 35 and 45 is going to, like, do the beer bottle dance where they, like, they hold that beer bottle and they start, like, going like this. You get every girl in the bar doing this when that song comes on. It's a good song. 25 years old. That shit's like classic rock and roll. That's how old it is at this point. Good God, we are getting old, my friends. We are getting old. By the way, Berry Ford of Memphis, Mary Berry. That's funny. Dude, I love Mary Berry. I'm telling you, if you ever want to be convinced that America is full of disgusting people who are just vile to each other, watch one season of The Great British Bake Off and you will be convinced we are worse than them. What a group of lovely, delightful, charming people are all over every single episode of every single season of Great British Bake. You cannot help but watch The Great British Bake Off and think to yourself, what the fuck is wrong with our country? It's true. And some of those people are incredible bakers. Barry also wants us to know, Tig is great on Star Trek? See, I never watch any Star Trek. Star Trek was never for me. I never got into it. I didn't even know she was on Star Trek. She's funny. Funny, funny woman. We got all the supers in. I think we worked in all the supers. Again, congrats to our... one of the first women here of the Plus, Chef A on the new job. Good to see you, Damon. It's a big Orange County song. Jamie, yeah, without a doubt. That Crazy Town Butterfly had like Southern California breeze all over it for sure. San Bruno Mike says, you know, we don't really need that show to ask like, WTF is wrong with our country. I'll agree with you there. Finally, doesn't mean much to me. Probably doesn't mean much to you, but to a generation, Hannah Montana premiered on the Disney Channel today in 2006. We don't get Miley Cyrus without getting Hannah Montana first, right? Today in 2011, the hardest I've ever laughed in a theater was during the first time I ever saw Naked Gun, Files from Police Squad with Leslie Nielsen. I saw that in the movie theater and I fell out of my seat laughing. It was so funny to me. I was at the perfect age for that to just every single joke land on me. And when I saw the play The Book of Mormon by the guys who did South Park. The Broadway musical, I saw it when it came through San Francisco, and The Book of Mormon opened today in 2011. It is hysterical. And even as it makes fun of religion, it does so with a heart. It doesn't make fun of the concept of a belief system that makes you a better person, but it laughs at some of the absurdities of religion. And it does so, again, with a heart. It's a great, great play, The Book of Mormon. If you ever have the opportunity to see that play, I mean, you know me, I'm not much of a theater person at all, but it's really, really good. I highly recommend it. I hope you like it very, very much. Thank you so much for being here today. Again, notify, notify, notify. That is your homework assignment. If you know someone who isn't hitting that notify button, tell them, hit that notify button. The audiences will grow if just, like, if the, about, like I said, 2,400 of you, whatever it is, 20, what was that number again? Of all of my 51,000 subscribers, only 2,400 have hit that notifications. If we get to, like, 5,000, 7,000 of you actually hitting that notify button, it will change the trajectory and arc of this channel and this show, which I try to do for you 5 days a week at 11 a.m. West Coast time. It'll change it forever. So if you want to help the Plus grow, that's a great way to do it. Hit that notify button. And thank you for being here today. Always appreciate you. Like and subscribe and all that good stuff. Have a great one out there. And please do remember that sports don't build character. They reveal it.